Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Michelle Knezovic. Joe Rex Road down in Florida, taking in press conferences from Dabo Swinney and Josh Heupel from Fort Lauderdale in advance of the Orange Bowl coming up in Miami tomorrow. So he'll be back on the program around 8:30 today. With that in mind, we look ahead to the Titans and the Cowboys. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Steve Lehman from News Channel 5. Steve, good morning, brother. How are we doing?
Robbie, good morning to you. I feel like we drew the short straw this morning because I just looked at the forecast, and it's like 80 and sunny in Florida already. So Joe got the better assignment today.
He really did. It's a little bit ridiculous that he gets away with this, but we'll see what we can do on that front. Make him maybe go somewhere cold in the future, not to warm Miami, Florida. Steve, the Titans taking on the Cowboys tonight on Thursday Night Football, and this roster that the Titans throw out there tonight could be a doozy. What do you make of what we could see tonight on Thursday Night Football and the approach the Titans are taking, where it just kind of seems like if anybody's kind of right on the edge of being able to play or not able to play, Vrabel going with caution in this game?
You know, Robbie, it sort of feels like a bowl game. You got two teams who are pretty good. One's definitely in the playoffs. One isn't. You're wondering who's opting out tonight, who will actually play in the game. It doesn't actually mean a whole lot for anybody. It's a very interesting setup for a football game here tonight that we have. But they are going to go out there and play, and for the Titans, it's a national stage for the first time, really, since they played that game in Green Bay, which, in my opinion, was the best game they played all season a little over a month ago, and got them to 7-3. Since then, they've lost five straight games. The injuries continue to mount. And I expect tonight, honestly, that the losing streak extends to six, because there's not going to be very many bodies on the field for the Titans. I, frankly, don't think you're going to see much of Derrick Henry. If you do, it's completely because they like to support their players in pursuit of individual numbers. And Derrick Henry still has an outside shot to potentially win the rushing title. I don't know if he can do it behind the offensive line that will be on the field, but that's the only reason I think you might see Derrick Henry tonight. But Danico Autry, I bet, is out. I can't imagine they're going to rush Christian Fulton back. We already saw the eight guys that were ruled out yesterday. And so it's going to be a bunch of guys who are trying to find their way with this Titans team, who are trying to gain a little bit of confidence tonight against a good football team before they get down to go to Jacksonville and play for all the marbles next week in Week 18. So I imagine it's going to be a pretty ugly football game tonight. I don't think the Titans are going to show a whole heck of a lot, because any wrinkles they do have are going to be saved for next week. If you were hoping tonight's the night that Todd Downing is going to get super creative and the offense is going to show some wrinkles that we haven't seen all season long, I wouldn't hold my breath.
Well, to that point, Steve, you know, Malik Willis, I would presume, is in there tonight, and we'll see how that goes and what he can do out there. How do you view the quarterback situation heading into Jacksonville next week? Is it going to be just simply the Malik Willis show? Do you think Josh Dobbs should get a look? How do you view what the Titans have at their disposal there next week?
Well, if I was a diehard Titans fan, I would probably start praying and fasting and hoping that Ryan Tannehill's ankle magically gets better before next week and he can come back and play, because that's the Titans' best chance to win. He is by far their best option at quarterback. I would maybe like to see a little bit of Josh Dobbs, just to see if there's another person out there that could come in and give you a little bit of a spark tonight. But here's the deal. I mean, they drafted Malik Willis in the third round because they believe he's talented enough to be an NFL quarterback. And so I really doubt that that's going to be the case tonight. I think it's going to be all Willis, and he's going to get his fourth start, and he's going to get the whole game, and we're going to find out what he can do behind that beat-up offensive line. I do think he's looked a little bit more comfortable here in the latter stages of the season, starting in that possession he had a couple weeks ago in L.A. I thought he did look a little bit more comfortable until the two-minute drill, which was just a complete mess at the end of the game on Sunday. But here's the thing, Robbie. A little bit more comfortable meant what? 14 completions and 99 yards? That's just not good enough. And my great fear of that draft pick has completely been realized this season. I thought when they drafted him in the third round, and by the way, traded up in the third round to draft him, I just didn't think it made any sense. Because in my mind, best case scenario for the Titans was Ryan Tannehill plays the entire season healthy, and you never really see Malik Willis this year.
Yep.
And then you make a decision at the end of the season of what you're going to do moving forward. Worst case scenario is Tannehill gets hurt, and Malik Willis, who's a bit of a project, has to play this season. That's what we've ended up seeing. But you still have to make a decision at the end of the year. Are you parting ways with Ryan Tannehill, or are you not? Whatever that decision is, if they move on into a new quarterback direction this offseason, it is impossible for me to think, based off of what we've seen, that they're just handing over the keys to Malik Willis next year. Which means, even if they're moving on from Tannehill, they're going to go out and they're going to find a free agent quarterback, or they are going to draft a quarterback who they believe is better than Willis, is going to be the, I guess, the favorite going into the competition next summer to win this job. In which case, you just spent third-round draft capital on a quarterback that you don't think will ever play. And that to me, I was worried about from the beginning, and I think what we've seen from Willis on the field to this point has just crystallized that for me. I think at best, they drafted a four-year backup here that doesn't look like he's ready to start any games in the NFL now or potentially in the future.
That's a great point. Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Steve, you've covered a lot of Titans football, obviously, and there have been some ups. There have been some downs. What do you make of the spot this team is at organizationally right now? You fired John Robinson. We'll see what the next general manager looks like and who that is as the Titans move forward here. You got Tannehill and Henry getting older. You have guys on defense that are built to win now. But some Titans fans say, tear this thing down, rebuild, and let's start all over again. What do you make of just where this franchise is from the 30,000-foot view of it right now?
Well, first and foremost, I don't think it's as bad as it actually feels right now. I think the injuries, which they got to figure out, because this is now 2 years in a row that this team seems to be made of paper and they lead the NFL in injuries. They got to figure that out. You cannot lead the league in injuries every single year. But assuming this is some sort of anomaly and not what's in the water over there at St. Thomas Sports Park, you should have a pretty stout defense coming back healthy next year with the guys on the roster. And so you can start there. I'm pretty confident Derrick Henry will be your running back next year, and so you can start there on the offensive side of the ball. But as to the question of what your quarterback situation is going to look like or what they're going to do with the skill position players in terms of who's going to catch the ball from him and what they're going to do up front on the offensive line, those are major questions that I don't think anybody has the answer to. Maybe Mike Vrabel inside the building, yep, in terms of what he's thinking right now. But until you have a general manager or get better clarity on how much control Vrabel is going to have and then what he thinks, I don't know how anybody can project what the offseason is going to look like. I do think the Titans are not as bad as they've looked in the last few weeks. I also think they probably weren't as good as they played to 7-3. They won a lot of tight games with ugly offense and a very good defense in that stretch. So it's somewhere in the middle, and honestly, the fact that they're going to play for a division title next week with a chance to get to the playoffs ultimately probably is where this team should be with Jacksonville, given who they actually are on paper. So we'll see what happens there. But, yeah, a ton of questions coming in this offseason that are going to dictate what the future looks like. And I will say this. I still go back to firing John Robinson in season and the impact that had, because I do think there's going to have to be an attitude that's sort of rebuilt over there. Whatever the personnel moves are this offseason, they had done a brilliant job over the last few years of convincing whoever was in the building, whoever was healthy, and whoever was suiting up to play on a Sunday afternoon, or in this case a Thursday night, that the next man up was good enough and that the culture here was good enough and that whatever we're facing, we can step out on the field and compete and beat anyone. And essentially 4 weeks ago, the owner of the team came out and said, the locker room isn't good enough. The players in the locker room aren't good enough. The general manager was awful. And this roster isn't a playoff caliber or Super Bowl caliber team. It is very difficult to continue to push your first message of next man up when now that next man up believes that even ownership doesn't believe he's good enough to be the next man up. And so that's something that they're going to have to work on in the offseason to rebuild that level of trust and confidence within the locker room, regardless of what direction they choose to move.
No, it's a great point. Steve, last thing for you here. You know, a part of that is going to have to be addressing the offensive line. And I know they've tried to do that over the course of the past couple of years, and it hasn't worked out in different scenarios. Let me throw this one out there for you. Let's say Taylor Lewan is cut, takes a pay cut, and you could sign him 1 year for $5 million. Would you do that if you're the Titans next year?
Ooh, I would think about it if I was completely confident that he had healed from the latest knee injury here. On the simple fact that if he's healthy, even if he's 90%, Robbie, I think you at least know what you're getting from Taylor Lewan. Kind of like you know what you're getting from Ben Jones, even when he's beat up. At the moment, I don't know what I'm getting from anybody else on this offensive line. And you're going to have to go out and probably examine every other position you have up front next year. And so if you could get a year and steal it from Taylor Lewan, and it prevents you from having to go draft a left tackle in the first round, especially if perhaps you're thinking I'm drafting a quarterback in the first round this spring, I would certainly think about it. But you have to be able to go in with a doctor and look at that knee and say, okay, this checks out, and I believe a guy who at that point would be heading into year 9, year 10, something like that in his career, you'd have to be able to feel 100% confident that he's at least starting next year healthy. You can't guarantee it, and maybe he's injury-prone at this point, and you might be dealing with a similar situation next year. But this is going to take a while to restock the offensive line, and if you could do it affordably and with a clean bill of health, I would think about it on a short-term deal.
Well, Steve, it's going to be a really interesting next couple of weeks here for the Titans beginning tonight as they take on the Cowboys. Appreciate you being with us this morning. Thanks, my friend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely, Robbie. Maybe next time we can do it from the beach with Joe.
I think that sounds like a plan. I think sign me up for that.
Love it.
Steve Lehman from News Channel 5, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans and the Cowboys. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. More on that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
All that you've had to go through with injuries and subbing guys in and out, that the fact that there still is an avenue to the playoffs is pretty simple. How much does that kind of keep the carrot out there dangling?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're all, you know, I mean, we're all fighting for it, is to get into the tournament and then figure out a way to do that. We have a game Thursday. You know, we have a huge opportunity in front of us, you know, on a national stage, you know, and I think that, you know, again, whether you look at some of these games that were close and for other reasons didn't go our way, you know, that's disappointing, because you had some opportunities and you could say, well, it was because of this or that, or, you know, you're beating the Jaguars and you turn it over four times and, you know, don't do a good enough job on sudden change on defense, or then you go out to L.A. and, you know, it's competitive and it's on and on and on. But now it's, you know, it's focusing on, you know, where we're at with the Cowboys.
That was Mike Vrabel looking ahead to the Cowboys coming up tonight on Thursday Night Football here at Nissan Stadium. Robbie Stanley alongside Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Cowboys, we'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Michelle, some news yesterday on the Titans front for this game, and the roster that could be out there is just pretty incredible. Coming up tonight on Thursday Night Football, out, as designated by Mike Vrabel yesterday: Dylan Cole, Zach Cunningham, Bud Dupree, Amani Hooker, Nicholas Petit-Frere, Ryan Tannehill, Josh Thompson, and Jeffrey Simmons all ruled out yesterday for this game by Mike Vrabel. Listed as doubtful: Derrick Henry, Christian Fulton, and Denico Autry. So Jeffrey Simmons not playing in this game. Denico Autry listed as doubtful, and Derrick Henry listed as doubtful in this game as well. Obviously, without all those guys that I just rattled off there, they're in trouble against this Cowboys team. I mean, there's no other way about it. And look, the line on FanDuel, I think it's 12.5. I mean, it's a huge line in an NFL game, especially for a team that's going on the road and taking on the Titans at home. I mean, look, the game itself, the result doesn't matter from the standpoint of mathematically what you need to do to make the playoffs. You win next week and you're in, and we've talked about this being a possibility this week, but it is still kind of jarring when you read the injury report and see how many players are out tonight for the Tennessee Titans, or that could be out with a doubtful designation.
No, Robbie, I completely agree. And we talked about this yesterday on, okay, will Mike Vrabel, you know, have his, well, we talked about it with Paul Kaharsky, will he have his starters in? You know, will Derrick Henry try to get some more yards to try to get, you know, that rushing title this year? Even just the sole fact of, you know, not just throwing in the towel for a game. I know it doesn't mean anything in their playoff hopes, but, you know, losing another game doesn't help your locker room. It doesn't do anything good for you all. And I actually was really surprised. And you look at all those guys and how much of a factor they are for your offense and defense. And I'm thinking that the Cowboys could win by about probably 3 touchdowns tonight. And I mean, who knows? You know, anything can happen. This is the NFL. Who knows if Micah Parsons will play, one of their best defensive players. I'm sure Malik Willis hopes he doesn't play.
I'm sure he does.
But, you know, this is just going to be a beating today. I'm looking up at GetUp right here. Everybody's picking the Cowboys. No surprise. I mean, they're one of the best teams in the NFL right now. And the Titans are probably on that lower half offensive. I think I've seen them as lowest 32nd in the league, their offense. And with Malik Willis playing, I mean, if you're a Tennessee Titans fan, we've been talking about it all show. Do you care? I mean, I'm sure if you got tickets to this game, you probably care because the last thing you want to see is just a beat down. But do you care more about trying to make the playoffs?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, like, you know, tonight for me, like a lot of what I'm going to be watching tonight is about Malik Willis. Like, how does he look? Is there improvement? Does he take a step from last week to this week? I mean, Layman just talked about it, and I agree with him. Like, I do think Malik Willis looks more comfortable at times out there. But again, what did it amount to last week? 14 completions for 99 yards. I mean, that's not close to good enough in the National Football League. So, I mean, tonight I'm going to be watching. I mean, look, we talked about this earlier. I don't think anybody is saying Josh Dobbs is a great option, right? He's a career backup quarterback, probably at best, practice squad at worst. I mean, he's kind of right on that fringe in the NFL. The question is, who gives you the best chance to win against Jacksonville next week? Is it Malik Willis or is it Josh Dobbs? Maybe the Titans staff thinks it's Malik Willis. I mean, he's going to start tonight, and we're going to see what he's got tonight against the Cowboys. But I do wonder, in the back of their minds, could there be contemplation at least of making a change at quarterback? Look, if they put Josh Dobbs in there, he's going to have the same conditions. He's going to have a terrible offensive line in front of him. He's going to have wide receivers that can't really get open for the most part outside of Treylon Burks. And he's going to have an offense around him that has just been brutal all year. So, you know, I don't expect that Josh Dobbs is going to come in and all of a sudden the Titans are going to be putting up 35 points. I don't think that's going to happen. My only question is, do you feel like he could give you a better chance to win a game, win one game next week, than Malik Willis would?
And that's the tricky question. And then you can also look at it from this point of view of, do you feel comfortable not giving him any snaps tonight and just walking into Jacksonville and hoping he can win it? You know, he might be more experienced than Malik Willis, or do you feel more confident in the fact that, you know, Malik Willis is, at least this is his fourth start tonight. You know, he's played with this team. He's been with the team since training camp. And Josh Dobbs, yes, has more experience, probably is better than Malik Willis right now, but is he able to kind of plug and play, get into this team? What did he get in last week, 2 weeks ago, and be able to perform and be a surging team in Jacksonville who looks pretty promising? And I think one of the big things is just to get these guys on defense healthy.
Tyler on the text line says, tonight's the first game of the season I'm going to, with a crying, laughing emoji face. Hope you enjoy yourself out there. At least the weather will be fine.
Listen, I mean, it still is Thursday Night Football primetime game. Try to do what Robbie said and look at maybe the bright spots of some young rookies, Chigakonkwa. You know, just try to look at the positive, I guess.
Well,
but
look, if they pull this off tonight on a 5-game losing streak with the roster they're about to trot out
no
there tonight,
way, right?
This is the ultimate of the Vrabel specials.
I mean, this would be And it would be really interesting then to count how many guys were on practice squads and how many guys are just not starters. I mean, this would be.
I mean, it's hard.
There's
to even,
no way.
It's hard to even get there with the thought process of what we could see out there tonight with this roster. We'll have more on the Titans and the Cowboys coming up next. Take more of your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Make sure you play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win great prizes. Maybe the Titans qualify as the underdog pick today. Play now at thegamenashville.com or the Game Nashville app. Silly underdog picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Tune in for the NFL pregame tonight, live from Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge, located at 1322 6th Avenue North in Germantown. Join Jared Stillman and former Titans wide receivers Chris Sanders and Derek Mason from 5 to 7 prior to the Titans taking on the Dallas Cowboys. NFL pregame brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parma Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Michelle Knezvik, Joe Rex Road down in Florida conducting interviews between Tennessee and Clemson. Orange Bowl taking place tomorrow. Josh Heupel and Dabo Swinney speaking down in Florida. So we'll hear from Joe here in just a few minutes on the program. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans and the Cowboys coming up tonight on Thursday Night Football. Jack on the text line says, how Titans would it be to win this game tonight and then go blow it next week in Jacksonville when all of our starters are back?
Yeah, you don't want that. You definitely don't want that scenario.
That would be a tough one to swallow there if you were the Titans tonight. Look, I mean, my question is, like, if you're a Titans fan, how many truly care about the result tonight? I mean, there are some. We've heard from some on the text line today. But if you're going to the game, if you're watching the game, like, how many of you really care about the result tonight if you're a Titans fan, knowing that it comes down to next week and whether or not you can beat the Jags in that game and go to the playoffs? I mean, there are some that care about that result, and they don't want it to go the Titans' way. Like, well, I think there are – I'm not going to say a majority of Titans fans. There are at least a decent number of Titans fans that we've heard from on the phone line, on the text line, whatever you want to call it, that say, why make the playoffs? I mean, you're just going to – it's a waste of time. You're going to get in the first round, and you're going to get beat, and it just is what it is after that. I mean, we certainly have heard from a lot of those Titans fans. I just wonder, like, how many of them care about this result tonight, knowing the roster that they're about to throw out there against the Cowboys. I mean, look, I would assume Prescott's playing tonight. We'll see about Micah Parsons. Michelle, like you said in the last segment, he's questionable tonight with the hand injury. Tony Pollard doesn't look like he's going to play. He's questionable with a thigh injury. I think Pelissero just talked about his status is in doubt tonight. So it could be the Hassan Haskins, Ezekiel Elliott running back show tonight for the Titans, and we'll see how that goes. But just this is a game where gauging Titans fans' interest in it, doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of Titans fans that really care about the result of this game tonight.
Well, and I think it drastically changed from last week. I feel like people were more like, okay, you know, still you're going to beat the Texans, or that was at least the thought. You're going to beat the Texans, and then you can still win the AFC South. And I feel like the fan base, just based off callers, texters, it significantly changed once they lost to the Texans. And it was like, okay, we're not going to win in the playoffs anyway. Just let Jacksonville win. We're focused on next year already. I don't know if you got that vibe, Robbie, but I like really feel like there are more fans still in on this season. And then after the Texans loss, there was a flip.
Well, I think some of it's with Tannehill being out. I mean, the quarterback situations, a lot of it. Like, what is really – I mean, this is a down-and-out fan base right now. Now, having said that, it's a down-and-out fan base right now. If you beat Jacksonville, How much does that change if the result changes? Joe Rexroad is back with us on the program. Now, Joe, welcome back. Let me ask you that question. What's your gauge of the Titans fan base right now? And if they beat the Jags, how much do you think that changes heading into the playoffs?
Well, yeah, they're definitely down, obviously. But I still – okay, so before I even get to the Jags, what percentage of Titans fans, as that game kicks off, hope their team wins and wins the division as opposed to, nah, just losing it a draft pick? I understand that – what I mean, this is a great, I think, example for all of us of social media says one thing, the text line says one thing, and a whole bunch of people aren't saying anything. But if you actually had a number, I bet you it's 90-plus percent of Titans fans still are going to be rooting for their team to win that game. I believe that. Maybe I'm wrong.
It'll be a high percentage.
I believe. Like right now, it's brutal because like Michelle said, you're coming right off the Texans loss. So there's – you see some of the – yeah, just lose it. But again, like if you really look into this situation as a Titans fan – you really would prefer a couple spots higher in like the middle high, you know, like the high middle of the draft as opposed to win the division. I don't buy that. I don't buy that when it comes down to it. When you actually get to that game and you got Derrick Henry playing, you got Jeff Simmons playing and Autry and everything like that. Yeah, I think you're right. Obviously the Tannehill situation makes it a lot less likely you're going to win that game. What's the line? If these games go as expected, what's the line on the Jags-Titans game going to be?
Jags 6.5 is my guess.
Okay. So less than a touchdown. So, yeah, that probably makes sense. I right around a touchdown. It'd be interesting. I could see the money going to the point where it gets to more like 7.5.
Well, I can tell you the line right now. It's 6 for the Jags. So that's close.
There you go.
And home field advantage. Yep. So kind of like 9.
Now, when Malik Willis throws for 400, it's the other way though, Michelle. It's more like 3, right?
Yeah.
You get 3.
Yes.
Well, you may get it, maybe 4 when you got that pool down there in Jacksonville. You may get an extra point for that.
Yeah. Now Malik Willis throws for 400 yards tonight, and Hassan Haskins runs for 200 in a blowout of the Cowboys, and maybe the line will move. But
yeah, 600 yards of total offense tonight may do that.
Yeah. No, but yeah, it's a down and out fan base, and I can't sit here and lie and say, "Hey, all is going to be well." But I it's funny that if Jared is already calling that they're going to win at Jacksonville, we'll see who gets hurt tonight. Okay, I don't want to talk about this until tomorrow after we see the new injuries for the Titans. But if they aren't disastrous, I definitely can see coming a good performance and a real opportunity to win the division for this team still, even with the quarterback situation. But that is going to take some absolute excellence in other aspects of the team.
Donovan on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, agreed, the Titans probably don't go far in the playoffs, but there's still value in winning the division. Go Titans. Fred from Ashland City says, we've got to ruin the Jags day one more time before we go to the pit of misery. This is from Fred from Ashland City on the text line.
Well, that's funny, but it's also that's exactly how you should look at it if you're a Titans fan. Man, take another swing at it. And again, there's a lot of things that just can't be fixed with this team right now. It doesn't mean they can't be. I'm not saying they will, because it's hard to fix offensive lines in the NFL in a short period of time, and especially when you have multiple positions of concern. But it's not impossible. So. You know, you could be right back in a real race with them next year, and with expected 2023 favorite Indianapolis.
With Will Levis as their starting quarterback.
The combo of Derek Carr and Will Levis out there going to be great.
And John Robinson as their GM.
Yeah.
Man, I'm really actually kind of heartbroken that Ursay is sticking with Ballard, because I seriously just so badly wanted the Robinson scenario. One more shot. And that's certainly the case if the decision from here is, okay, it's time to blow it up to some extent and find the next quarterback. But if it's not the decision, then I don't think that it's impossible for the Titans to be right there next year.
Keith on the text line says, percentage chance that Tannehill plays against the Jags. It's interesting, Joe. I mean, look, apparently he was reported to have surgery. So I think it was the tightrope surgery. So we'll see what happens on that front. We've talked a lot about tightrope surgery so far this year in the world of sports around here. I don't know what the percentage would be. I mean, Cedric Tillman had tightrope surgery and what he missed, 5 weeks? I mean, it's different for everybody.
A much younger person.
Right.
We're talking about there. So it's supposed to accelerate the timetable, but you're still looking at a timetable of like 4 to 6 with it. So the percentage chance right now, I'd put it at, I mean, I you can't rule anything out. Like, you just don't know how someone's going to heal. So I put it at 1, but it's a shaky 1%.
Yeah, I mean, the likelihood is it's going to be Malik Willis and or Josh Dobbs as your quarterback in that game. Now, you know, we had Lehman on a few minutes ago, and he talked about, like, Tannehill hopping around on one leg may be a better option than both of those guys at the moment, and he may well be, but I just don't know how realistic that's going to be for the Titans as they move forward here. I said it earlier, like, Malik Willis, that's what I'm watching tonight. Like, the result, honestly, like, I don't really care about it. Doesn't matter a whole lot for the Titans tonight. I'm watching Malik Willis. I want to see how he plays. I want to see how he looks. I don't know how much of an opportunity he's going to have to make plays. Number one, I don't know how capable he is of making plays at this point in his career. And number two, with what's going on around him right now and that defense that they're playing against, it could be rough out there for this Titans offense tonight. But my eyes are going to be pretty much exclusively focused on Malik Willis tonight for the Titans.
Yeah, and I think, well, look, I mean, I think this offensive line, this is their offensive line now. So can they make any kind of stride collectively? Now, maybe LaRaven Clark, you know, maybe Nicholas Petitfrere is able to be back for Jacksonville, but, right, you know, so that might be the one, you know, difference. Hassan Haskins, is he the next running back? Like, is he going to have a role moving forward? I mean, this is a great opportunity for him. He hasn't done a ton. He's had some good kick returns, but, you know, they spent a valuable pick on him. So then, you know, Burks, can you get him going at all? And, you know, there's still guys on defense, too, that are very important players who are going to be part of the finale. But even just guys like Walker up front and Weaver, you know, can they, without their main guys, without their stalwarts in there, can they still, you know, move the line of scrimmage at all, get any disruption, put up any kind of fight against a really good offense? Although Pollard being out is a hit to the Cowboys. I mean, Zeke's had a good year, and Dak's had a good year. They have a really good offensive line. So, you know, it's going to – I mean, that's when they get rolling, that's a really tough offense to deal with. I think the Titans' full defense against the Cowboys' offense is a primetime matchup.
Josh on the text line says that the Titans win by 3 tonight and then by 7 against the Jags. Josh from Florida taking a very optimistic view of the game tonight. John on the text line says the Titans should stink it up until the new stadium opens and then draft Arch Manning. Long-term plan from John on the text line.
Yeah, that's a great idea, John. Arch. Yeah, just hold. Let's see. God, there's got to be something great for Arch. Barch for Arch? No, I don't know. Something for Arch. We'll come up
to work
with
on that one.
Yeah, that was terrible. In the meantime, bleep the bed for Bedard, okay? Yes.
Had a hat trick last night in the World Juniors. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into the Derek Carr news from the Raiders. What does that signal about what the quarterback market could look like this offseason in the NFL, and will the Titans be involved in said quarterback market? We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune into this week's Sunday NFL Game of the Week on 94.9 The Fan. This week's game will feature the New York Jets taking on the Seattle Seahawks at 3:05. NFL Game of the Week brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are looking ahead to the Titans and the Cowboys, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So the news of the day yesterday in the NFL, Derek Carr benched by the Las Vegas Raiders. And according to reports, Derek Carr will also step away from the team for the final 2 weeks of the regular season to, quote, avoid being a distraction, end quote. So it looks like the Derek Carr era with the Raiders could be over. And this is fresh off of him signing a 3-year contract extension in the offseason. Now, there are some contractual realities to factor in here to this discussion as it relates to Derek Carr. Derek Carr was given the 3-year contract extension. If he's on the roster 3 days after the Super Bowl this year, then his salary for next year is fully guaranteed. So the Raiders have until, I guess, 3 days after the Super Bowl to make a decision on Derek Carr. And if they cut him, it would only be a $5.625 million salary cap hit if the move is made within 3 days of the Super Bowl. So it looks like the Derek Carr era in Las Vegas is over. And, Joe, that leads me to ask the question, what sort of quarterback movement do you think we see this offseason? Obviously, last year, Russell Wilson goes to the Broncos. We discussed the Aaron Rodgers scenario. Would he stay in Green Bay? Would he retire? Would they trade him? What would all that look like? I look at it this season, and there's not a ton that I think is going to be out there, but now you can add Derek Carr to the list, we think. Tom Brady and his status in Tampa Bay yet to be determined. Is he going to play next year? Will he go back to the Bucs? Will he try to find another team in free agency? A couple of different quarterback conversations up in the air. Number one, what do you expect the quarterback movement to look like? What do you think it could look like this offseason? And how intrigued are you about the Titans and what they may or may not do at the quarterback position this offseason?
First of all, let me ask you this. Has anyone today, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, text line, said the Titans should get Derek Carr?
I have not seen one to this point. But now that you've brought it up, we're going to get one.
I'm so proud of all of you. We have such smart listeners.
We do.
Because it's just, I actually was a little bit worried about that today.
So was I, Joe.
And I would get like all irritable and cranky and yell at people.
That never happens.
Yeah. I mean, it's a rarity. Good job, because it's and this latest episode to me further hammers home why you shouldn't even give one half second of thought to that. I'm sorry, but I think it's so weak that he's just leaving. He's just gonna step out. It's a joint decision or whatever. Get out of here, man. That's so weak. I mean, I was very disappointed in Marcus Mariota doing the whole, like, oh, I guess I'm going to go get that knee surgery now thing. That was a take my ball and go home. At least there was, like, some sort of, like, excuse to be made there.
Don't be making excuses for Marcus. Not going to have it.
No. That was weak. But, I mean, I'm mad. You benching me, I'm mad. Screw you guys.
Yeah, but, Joe, that's basically what Arthur Smith said that Mariota did.
Yeah. I understand. I'm just saying, like, at least it was like, oh, my knee.
So you'd rather him lie?
I guess so. I guess actually what we figured out is I put value on lying in this situation. Yes.
Just say what you want to hear.
Oh, I love it.
I still want to believe that, like, with Mariota, like, he was gutting it out.
Yeah.
And he had to have surgery all along, and he just didn't tell those guys. Like, I want to believe that. It's interesting. These are the two guys who both got their legs broken next to the last day of the 2016 season. Kind of similar situations. But anyway, we don't need to bring Marcus into this. Point is, you don't want Derek Carr. Leave Derek Carr alone. And I agree kind of with what Jared said earlier. Although my Malik Willis scenario is the, to quote Keith, #fank.
Yes.
It's the, hey, if he surprises the heck out of you and turns into like a really good quarterback, even if that's the case, you probably aren't going to have like a great season. But if he's kind of along the same trajectory as he is now, you're going to be at the near the top of the draft, close enough to maybe move up if you need to move up and look at, you know, there's two quarterbacks we talk about, which is Drake May and Caleb Williams. Maybe we should talk about Joe Milton too, but hey, we can get into that later in the show.
Sure,
but regardless, that could be your scenario of getting a quarterback. I don't see anyone else out there that's a good idea. I guess Brady, I guess. But I mean, it's like, I watched that whole game the other night. I understand they have a bad offensive line and all this stuff, and he ultimately made plays and they won. He's 46. He's not very good anymore. I mean, come on.
I'd take him. I mean, I'm not falling for this again. We had the same conversation the last time that we thought he was done. I'm not falling for it again. I'd take him.
Okay, but I mean, okay.
I'm sure you would love this offensive line too.
Oh yeah. I mean, look, I don't think it's going to happen. I'm just saying I would take him.
Yeah, I don't think there's some massive change. Like a guy with the talent in this and still with the fastball of like a Rodgers right now, you know, that to me is different than what Brady is putting out there on a weekly basis. But yeah, I know he's Tom Brady.
Tom
so
Brown.
I know what he's done in his career. So I get the fascination with him.
Phil on the text line accurately points out that CJ2K tweeted last night that Carr should go to the Titans. So yes, Chris Johnson did advocate Derek Carr to the Titans. We do have at least one.
Okay, well, there you go. We put him in the category of people to yell at.
yeah,
it's a bad idea.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a ton of like major quarterback movement this offseason. Like, where's Baker Mayfield going to end up? Is he going to be a starter somewhere? Is he going to be the starter for the Rams? Like, if Matthew Stafford decides to hang it up, if Stafford comes back, like, is Baker going somewhere else? I mean, what happens with Jimmy Garoppolo with the San Francisco situation? I mean, there's a lot that could happen. You know, apparently Jordan Love is going to request a trade if Aaron Rodgers is back as starting quarterback next year. So there will be some quarterback movement this offseason. I guess I don't really expect like some huge domino to fall via trade like we saw this past offseason. Now, the Tom Brady situation is interesting. We'll see what he decides to do, but I don't anticipate the Titans being involved in something like that.
No, I mean, look, unless you can do something just, again, Rodgers level or like one of the top shelf guys. Yeah, if you think that's Brady still, fine. He's a little different situation. But other than that, like you have to be great around your quarterback, like Vrabel said last offseason, before which the Titans set out to be absolutely horrible around a quarterback. that's what you have to do, especially obviously. I mean, to me, I think you could still have a really good team next year with Tannehill, Henry, Burks, another receiver, Chig coming on, you know, the Landry coming back on the defense. There's a lot to like if you can fix the offense. If fix the offensive line. But the other receiver is a big one too. Like,
oh, yeah.
Who is that? Where do you go for that? It's going to be hard enough to fix the offensive line. You know, what's your answer at receiver? And is Traylon Burks going to be ready next year to be a number one receiver? That's another big question. But you got to fix the offensive line. But that's what it comes down to. So all those things you have to do. How do you even mess around with quarterback if you're trying to win right now? I think you have to have continuity there.
Hey, Lamar still hadn't signed with the Ravens. Maybe go get him.
That is true.
I would hope they'll figure that out at some point. At least franchise tag. I don't expect Lamar's going to be going anywhere. Going back to your pathetic name that you tried to give the tank job for Arch Manning, we do have some submissions on the text line. Caleb says, barf for Arch. There's a march.
That's what I was kind of thinking.
There's a march for Arch on the text line, and Jim from Springfield says canning for Manning. I kind of like that one. That one's pretty good.
That's not bad. What about death march for Arch?
maybe so. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get a Vols update from Joe that has been down in Florida conducting interviews with Dabo Swinney and Josh Heupel in advance of the Orange Bowl. We'll also get into Joe Milton and a conversation that Joe had with Joe Milton yesterday as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.